You take your seats and get this meeting started, please.
Johnny Cole, what are you doing?
Just business.
Just business.
You might want to sit in here for the first couple minutes anyway.
Count? Have seen you a couple of years.
No, that's right. He know, he already knows.
Okay, we're gonna call the May 6, 2013 budget review for the capital budget to order. Present are councilpersons Kilpatrick, Tackett, Bell, Street, Hollins, Cartier, Diller, Retta. I'm Councilman Smiley, co-chair of finance, and I'll be chairing this meeting, and Ms. Finnegan will be taking the minutes. Councilman Sheldon and Councilman Weiner will not be present. Before we get started, I want to do a little bit of housekeeping. I was having become aware that several members of council need to leave early. I felt it prudent and responsible to do this at the beginning of the meeting instead of the end. This is the capital budget. Council members, I want to remind you that under code, and I'll just read this word for word, the county council may not amend the capital program as submitted by the county executive until it is received the county executive recommendations with respect to the proposed amendment. The county council should not be bound by such recommendations and may act without them if they are not received within 15 days from the date they are requested. What this means is in order to amend the capital budget, we have to allow the executive branch 15 days in which to review our proposals and respond to us. So, I want to make everyone aware of that. And just for note, if an amendment was to be proposed tomorrow and submitted, tomorrow wouldn't count as a day, and the day before we vote on the budget would be 20 days. So if an amendment is submitted tomorrow, then we have they have 15 days to respond, and we would have 5 days from that date. So just make sure, and that's only relevant to the capital budget. So I just want to make sure everyone's aware of that. And just again, because we're going to be short at the end of the meeting, Councilman Cartier and I were contacted by several members of council, not to equal a quorum, to discuss the capital budget and some concerns and issues they had. So we did sit down with some other members of council and have some discussion on a possible amendment to the capital budget. I don't know what any other members have done, but just make you aware that that is a timeline. It is rather tight. And Councilman Cartier and I have had discussion, regardless of who are the co-chairs, who the co-chairs of finance may be for FY15, we strongly recommend that for future budgets, the capital presentation we moved further up the budget hearing process calendar so as to allow more time for both council members and the executive to work out any proposals. With that, Mr. Coop, if you would identify yourself and begin your presentation. Oh, Councilman Powers has joined us. And a motion to approve the minutes of the previous budget hearing.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. Identify yourself and have at it.
Mike Coop, Finance. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, council members. I'm here, of course, to present the proposed fiscal year 2014 capital budget program. First, I'd like to start off at least by acknowledging Patty Wood, Chief Capital Budget Analyst for the Finance Department, that prepares all the documentation for the capital budget. Without her, we wouldn't have this. I'd just like to say, start off a little bit prior to moving to public safety.
Let me interrupt you one more time. Let me get on record that President Bullock has joined us. We're good.
Thank you, I'd just like to start by saying, prior to moving to public safety, I spent over 20 years managing all the capital project reviews, information, and costs, including various site visits. Back in 1977, when I first started, there was not much dealing wrong with capital, and most of it was handled by the planning department prior to the finance department taking over. So I'm pretty excited to be able to finally make the actual presentation to council here after spending so many years reviewing capital projects and the budgets. You always wonder what it would be like to sit here in a chair. Of course, now I'm going to find out. And I also kept telling myself, you got to remember about being careful about what you wish for. So with that, we'll see how this goes. Well, first I'd like to start off by saying I believe everyone received a copy of the planning board letter, which is part of the code, where the planning board and land use review the proposed capital budget and program to see if it's within in planning principles and in accordance with the comprehensive development plan, which they said it was. With that, the proposed, I'd like to start by saying the proposed 2014 sewer capital budget of $17,171,000 reflects a reduction of $11,084,000 from the $28,255,000 programmed in the fiscal year 2013 capital program. The budget amount includes funding for various sewer rehabilitation projects, large pump station rehabilitation projects, equipment, and stormwater basin improvements. All were listed on page 6 of the summary of the handout that everyone has. As we know, many of the sewer projects also are very quite expensive, including the pump station improvements, but we have to address these aging operations. Capital Projects Fund, proposed capital budget of $18,442,000 is a reduction of $4,305,000 from the $22,747,000 that was programmed in the 2013 capital program. The Capital Projects Fund's budget includes funding for necessary building renovations, including the city-county building, of $1,047,000, which the county has no control over because the city now manages this building and these are renovations that have to be done. The budget also includes roof renovation projects, paving projects, and security projects. Also this year, we moved the fleet acquisition back to the capital budget because of accounting purposes. Fleet acquisitions are capitalized, counted as fiscal assets for the financial statements, and all this does is put it back in to the beginning of the process as it was in the past. I believe over the last 2 years they had changed and decided to put it back in operating, but the normal accounting process would be to have it in the capital. It's still funded with the operating dollars, though. It's just recorded there. The budget also includes funding for capital park improvements, necessary renovations to county pavilions, maintenance-based renovations, farmland preservation. Capital Claymont Library is in the budget to record the final request of state funding for that particular project. The public safety, the budget also includes preliminary funding to look at police range options because the current facility has to be moved. And I also want to make a point that back in fiscal year 2010, the public safety facility budget was deauthorized $1 million before all punch list items were addressed with the project. When I arrived over there 5 years ago, I was quite surprised to see all the issues that weren't completed, and obviously there's still plenty more. I was there when a sprinkler head broke and helped the fire company squeegee the water out. But there are even larger issues still that must be addressed there, such as the detention basement, the security, and of course the largest of all was the failure of the geothermal system requiring the new HVAC chiller, which is also included in this budget.
If I may, I just want to comment because you're talking about things that weren't completed and went bad. And we all sat here time and time again and heard how great this building was going to be and the green technology awards and everything else. And I don't want to offend anyone. I'm not an engineer, but I asked someone what happened, and most of you, 1, 2, 3, 4, won't be aware of this. What happened to the waterless urinals that were in the men's room. And when they started to tell me, I finished it for them. And the bottom line was, they used the wrong piping. When you use regular urinals with water, it dilutes the acidity of your body and therefore can go through the copper. Should have been PVC used. Instead, they used copper. So what happened? Everything started deteriorating. So now we're back to the water. So, you know, we went green, but the green came out of the pockets of the taxpayers in Newcastle County is what happened. So some of the stuff, maybe broke, but some of it was never meant to operate the way it was installed to begin with.
Yes, sir. Including, I believe, the geothermal?
Yes, absolutely.
Since I saw some of the holes that were dug and saw how the pipe was laid.
Okay.
But in closing, I would also like to say that the budget includes funding for updates for our antiquated sewer system. I mean, software system. Our software system, sorry. But with that, I would like to say if we go over to page... If we look down pages 6 and 7, I wasn't going to spend time, especially now that I know council members are going to be leaving. There's no sense in spending time going through the booklet, as opposed to let's just start responding to questions. I think would be the best way to go.
Councilman Cartier.
Yes, could you address the $1 million request for security and the detail of that, please?
Well, years ago I would have been able to address that, but obviously I have all the support around here. There's more support here, and I see Barry Nahi's going to raise his hand to answer the questions.
Barry Nahi, Golden Maintenance. The security system, we have a few buildings actually that don't have none. And part of this is actually we're doing, we're installing new systems, and they're up to date. The one we're doing right now is at the garage. And from there, we're going to move to the Gilliam building because it doesn't have any. And then we're going to start looking at the other ones that have them and they're not functioning. We got the Connor building. The system there is pretty much, you know, the majority of it is really outdated. And then we're going to look at also upgrading all the systems, the old ones at the library.
How many of those buildings have existing security systems that have failed?
All the ones at the counter building, the majority of them.
They're not working.
They're not working. We have the libraries, bought a few of them, the old, like Newark, and just to list some examples that the system is not really functioning. And lots of it has to do with the old technology. Now they have NVR that actually stores, has a much larger storage capacity. Like what we have at, similar to public safety, because they're required to store a lot of data for 3 years, in most cases, some to a year and so on. So this is going to make it to where the system, because the hard drives fail. It's just the nature of it. If they're 24/7, they're not going to last more than 2 years. And that's what's been happening. You replace it, it's going to fail again.
We have some additional insight.
Wayne Merritt, Acting General Manager of Special Service. Just to add to what Barry mentioned, there are systems, basic systems at Gilliam. The systems at the Connor building is a perfect example. The video capabilities, the camera capabilities are so much more improved over what currently exists that it's imperative that we upgrade based upon the various facilities and equipment we have at our complex. We're also going to keypad all the buildings so that it's not just a key situation which exists in the garage now, so that you know who's entering and who's not. And we plan on doing this throughout all other facilities as we go forward.
Have you noticed that, you know, you're having problems with theft or just generally a better sense of security?
Better sense of security. Things that will happen, conceivably, in a parking lot, a car will get bumped or something like that. The cameras have been virtually useless and many times trying to track those kind of things down. The systems that we can put in place will be much more beneficial for giving us a greater sense of security throughout all of our
systems. George, yes.
Councilman Street.
I just want to say for the record that I think there's a great need for improved security in with the library, especially the library, Woodland Library in particular. I've seen folks using the benches on the playground to do all kinds of illicit things. I fought for and got a security person inside, but I think that the library could benefit immensely from that board having a camera system that exposes the outside, both the playground, the back of the library, and the parking lot. And I don't think that's unique to Woodlawn. You know, other folks have their own libraries in their district, but I know that's a situation in Woodlawn which I'm very concerned about.
Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to comment quickly that, you know, a lot of these maintenance issues obviously shouldn't be coming at much of a surprise to us, because we know for, you know, several budget cycles here, you know, Barry's been coming before us. You know, he's a very hardworking, knowledgeable, you know, dedicated employee that, you know, as we've seen in the budgets, you know, that department over there has just been slashed and slashed, and obviously maintenance has been deferred and been deferred. So I agree with the other comments, you know, that there comes a time, you know, when things are going to be deteriorated to the point that, you know, they're going to be unfixable. So I certainly support, you know, trying to get Barry over there the resources that he needs to try to do these building maintenances, because to further allow them to deteriorate is not doing our due diligence here in the budgets.
Well, and I have a question, if I may, Councilor Street. I'm going to roll two together. You've got $1.5 million for Glasgow Park and $1.5 million for Carousel, plus you already have $500,000 left from last year for Carousel, so that's $2 million. What are we looking to do at those two parks?
But I'm buying the parks. Who's our parks clerk? Support staff.
Behind you.
Mike's waiting.
Good afternoon, Mike's from Special Services. We recently, with the county executive, took a tour of those facilities, and recognizing that they've been left Carousel more so than Glasgow in a state of disarray and disrepair. The majority of my tenure here, which is almost 5 years, there's a lot of patching up and rehab to be done for buildings that at one point in time a good investment was made in. They were considered a major attraction. They were a great benefit to the constituents of Newcastle County, and now to have let them go, we are undertaking an effort to identify by priority the things that need our attention before we lose the value of the assets entirely. There's efforts being made to work with the Friends groups and determine some things that may be of interest to the local communities. And from that, we intend to have those facilities evaluated, much like we're going to have all of the other county facilities evaluated, and have a recommendation by hierarchy of things that are most important in terms of keeping the asset value, all the way down to sort of a once list. From that, we will derive what our plans are.
Are you going to, does that same explanation go for Glasgow?
There are some things over the multiple phases at Glasgow Park that either for schedule or cost reasons may have been deferred, and I will defer to Tracy on this too if she would like to add in, because the majority of those projects were run by the engineering section of Special Services, so she may have something to add. But a good amount of the scope of those phases was either delayed or decided not to go forward with at the time because of schedule or budgetary reasons, and we're taking a look back now to revisit the items to see if there is any work in putting them in. Some of them we've already heard from the local community that there's a great interest in doing so. Generally speaking, it's about protecting the assets and meeting the local community. I mean,
that's what local community, does that mean we did a mailing across the line into Maryland?
No, that's not
okay, I'm just curious. All right. Councilman Street.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to ask that the appropriate person go to our page 18 at the Basin Library. And my question, if I go to the last column, is 13 million scheduled for the Southern Library. Kirkwood had already gotten 8.9 million. The Bear Library expansion got 5.8 million. Claymont got 11 million. And the Route 9 Library schedule is 6.3 million. My question is that enough? Is it going to be fair? and obviously I'm not getting the Taj Mahal of a library like sets up on Falk Road.
Helen? Diana Brown,
Department of Community Services. That probably is not enough. But where we are right now is we're in the process of conducting a needs assessment for a building approximately 15,000 square feet, and part of that project will be to establish the budget. So where we are right now is we have already have had funds authorized. We have received $25,000 from the state to do the needs assessment. In FY14, or actually in August of this year, we will be applying to the state for additional funds. And if we have determined a site in FY14, we can go to the state for 50% matching funds for the appraisal of that site. So I would expect to see that budget go up before the next budget next year. Does that answer your question?
Thank you. I appreciate the answer. And I would expect it to. Hope it comes to fruition. And when y'all get to fighting about the capital budget and you want to take money from somewhere, I got somewhere y'all to put it.
If I may, I just want to make one other point about on Route 9. I was going to show Councilman Street that there is $1.2 million of county funds in there to get the project started, as Diane was saying, the design work and all that before the construction does get going.
Thank you.
President Bullock, have you looked at a location for the library on Route 9 specifically, Ms. Bryan, preliminary?
Alan, we have looked at a couple and understand that one site is being negotiated between the exit for Dell Memorial Bridge 95 and the City of Wilmington is the area we're looking at right now. We're trying to keep it around the neighborhood so that it's an easier access, but we haven't selected a site as of yet.
Keep us in the loop. Councilman Cartier and Councilman Brown.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm stealing anything from you there, Bill, but I just want to
get... We steal none. We work together.
Okay. Just want to get a full description of the Lang acquisition request, $3 million in FY2014, what the plan is for that.
That's the farmland preservation project. I'm not sure if anyone can expand on it anymore, but...
District council people.
This is a farm land acquisition from out through our department.
And then there are already funds left in that as well, correct? Okay, Councilman Bell.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. It's a good topic, good subject to lead into, and. As we as council know, we've talked about the way we do land development in Newcastle County. We've talked about open space. We've talked about protecting our environment. And since I've come on council, and since Bill Powers has come on council, we have worked very closely with the state of Delaware, in particular the Secretary of Agriculture. We've worked with the Secretary of DENREC. We've worked with Open Space, in particular Senator Ennis, Senator Hall Long, and now Senator Poor, Representative Walker, and Representative Johnson. And what we've been working on and what we've talked about is that there are some of the most pristine farmland properties in Newcastle County. And we speak to just some of them along the Route 13, Port Pencard, or east of Route 13, is one area that coincides with the state of Delaware's plan to preserve the wetlands, to preserve the 1,000-acre marsh. There's some, not just wetlands, but tributaries that a lot of this farmland is adjacent to. And so the $3 million, when you look at $3 million being put into a fund, it doesn't say that a check's going to be written today, but what we've worked on and we continue to work on, and I think it's important to recognize that while hopefully this project will come to reality in the future,
under the current administration and this current council. This council has worked on talking about these type of provisions for years. We have put significant money in prior years, prior administrations under farmland preservation. This particular plan and this particular funding and where we're heading with it and some of the negotiations and some of the open talks actually came under the last administration. And I give credit where it's due. And our former president of council and county executive, Paul Clark, was very instrumental in working with the district council and working with state and other entities to talk about coming together as a whole and come up with a farmland preservation program. And when we look at $3 million being put into a fund, we're talking probably 3 to 4 times that amount, and I may even be a little light on it, coming from the state, coming from DENREC, coming from open space and private foundations. So there's a lot of work being done. But in order for folks like Senator Ennis to proceed in Dover to get a commitment of funding, there's got to be a partnership and commitment to what we're willing to do as the county in order to get this thing off the ground. And I think that's exactly where we are today. We're trying to take a look at areas that that are sensitive as far as our environment, that are sensitive as far as growth. So I think when you look at $3 million being put into a fund, it will cost much more than $3 million to not only begin the program but to expand it. And in addition to state and private entities, we've also begun to work on taking a look at federal funding and others that are out there. So this is kind of a future that's in progress, that we're continuing to work hard on it. But we're at a point now where we as the county need to make a commitment to the future. And this is not, in no way, shape, or form, would this be limited to Southern Newcastle County. When you talk about farmland preservation and open space, there are areas that are being farmed in other areas and other districts throughout this county. And there's open space that I'm sure that we would love to maintain as open space. So that's what I bring to you today as far as from one perspective. I know that Councilman Powers will add and build on it, but there's been a lot of energy, a lot of work, a lot of cooperation between agencies in talking about it and trying to get it where it needs to be. And I think the commitment is there from the state of Delaware to work with Newcastle County and to develop a real good, sound farmland preservation program. And as you'll see in the very near future, farmland preservation trust program that could be developed to support things. So with that, that's kind of a base explanation. But I think the bottom line to all this is to realign ourselves with proper development and to protect our environment, our open space, and no farms, no food. I mean, it sounds a little harsh sometimes, but the fact of the matter is that we continued for a great period of time to see farms that became developments. And when you especially go south of the canal and you look at some of the farms that are being farmed still to this day, you know, it's important for us to support our local farming. Agriculture is still the number one economic driver in the state of Delaware. And that's not just limited to the poultry business. It's related to farming and everything. So, my 9 years on council, I've learned enough to make me dangerous with farmland preservation and transfer development rights and things. But I think that we're at a point in time where folks are having serious talks, and we, as the district councilman from 6 and 12, We'll ask for the rest of council's cooperation and support in trying to help us get this to where it could be in the future and how meaningful it would be to the residents of Newcastle County. With that, I'll go over to Councilman Powers.
With all due respect, Councilwoman Dillon.
I'm sorry.
Councilman Powers.
I apologize.
Councilwoman Dillon.
No problem.
I'll let Councilman Powers speak about it.
No, go ahead.
I'm just concerned, and I don't want to bring this into the discussion now, but we need to bring it in later. When we talk about farmland preservation, are we overlaying the sea level rise maps on this issue? Because if something's underwater, what are we doing talking about buying it? Mm-hmm. Just a question.
Rice paddies.
I'm not going anywhere. I hope this is a budget hearing, but I'm just asking
answer.
The question.
I can answer that.
Yep, go ahead and answer that. Or, well, at the pleasure of the chair.
the properties that he's talking, if that's what you're saying, with 1,000-acre marsh, I can take you down there, but the elevation goes up about 30 feet, so there's no sea level.
Okay.
What it really is protecting, and DENREC's really looking more through the Open Space Council as protecting it, is protecting the watershed that goes into the marsh.
Okay.
Right now, the marsh is owned by the state. Mm-hmm. They've already bought the whole 1,000 acres. Just so everybody understands,
that's what I was wondering.
The 1,000-acre marsh too is a unique marsh in the state of Delaware. It's a freshwater marsh. They dammed it hundreds of years ago, and it has gates that doesn't let the salt water in. It only lets fresh water out. When the levels go down, it stays higher. So even the marsh is higher than the marsh.
Mr. Hollins?
It was done. It was done at the time for freshwater muskrats. I think somebody had said something, you know, the funding from the state. The funding from the state, if you read the state law, comes from the transfer fees. $10 million goes to Ag Land Preservation, $10 million goes to Open Space. And written in the law, it says, and it was said by Colin Benigni at the Bond Bill Committee, why are we bringing this up? We voted it upstairs that it shall come from the transfer fees. So the governor takes it out every year, and it automatically comes back just because it has to come back. But it says shall. And to put it in perspective, the transfer fees from all three counties, not on first-time homebuyers, it's been the average for the past 3 years, $16 million from Newcastle, 13.8 from Sussex, 2.8 from Kent County. So by what's happened though, and by doing some of this, is trying to get more of our money back from what's going into both things into Newcastle County and Sussex instead of Kent. Kent doesn't have the development pressure. But it's really, right now, politically looking pretty good. So that money can multiply a lot more. NRCS, which is USDA, there's money's coming. We qualify in Newcastle County better than Kent and Sussex because it's more in the urban counties where it can be spent. So.
Fortunately, I don't have to deal with the state budget, and I promise with this one. Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The 1,000-acre marsh is owned by the state.
The water itself.
Mm-hmm. And there's the traditional...
Which they own all the water anyway.
The traditional farmland preservation, which I believe the state is not going to fund this year.
They're going to fund it.
They are?
It'll come. And it says... Can I speak?
Sure. I want to know.
It's out of the butt. It's out. He puts it out almost every year. But if you read the state law, it says it shall come from there. That it will come from the transfer fees. The transfer fees are there.
So that's what you said earlier. But
yeah,
is
but
that
it,
specifically for the 1,000-acre marsh, or is that for the traditional?
It's just for both programs. But then the monies would come out of both.
And so this $3 million will also go to both programs, not just the...
Well, it would go to this project
if it went into any project in the county, the match would come. One thing that we have from the last time you did ag land preservation, when you were on council, and it's still in there, is anything just from the preservation is a one-to-one match. So automatically, you end up with at least $6 million just from ag land preservation. What right now, Colin O'Meara has already said they're looking at $2.2 million and maybe putting more into the just for that one.
Just for the match.
No, it'll end up being more. There's no set match. Mm-hmm. But under the program with the state, if we put up $3 million, it says right in, and I got a copy back from their attorney, Carol got, that we will have at least a one-to-one match, just from ag land preservation, not throwing in open space money.
And it's still a little confusing to me, and the fact that this $3 million can be used for the 1,000-acre marsh as well as, your point, to any other farm in Castle County.
But it's not buying the marsh. The marsh isn't.
Yes.
The farms surrounding the marsh.
Right. The area around the marsh is a discussion we've had some presentation on, that Cullen O'Meara wants to make certain that area is preserved. And there is money in the states, I guess, at DENREC to make certain it happens.
They have, to put in open space, last year they got $9 million, they only spent $10 million. They're carrying over $7 million. He's budgeted another $2 million, so they have $9 million right now, and it's looking like they could even have more. But it part of it could be, it's depending on how much, if we put up something, then they'll do it.
Okay.
Councilman Cartier.
I want to follow up on the on both district councilmen's point of view, Powers and Bell, and Bell made a really good overview picture that really kind of gave me a context for this request. Now, in terms of the actual labeling of the request, is it possible for us to notate it with? To put it as a earmark or a to dedicate it in some way to the purpose that you were describing, rather than land acquisition can mean many things, and I would rather have us earmark it so that we have some assurance that we'll go to environmental protection and to the purposes of which you guys are talking about.
Really help you. Do you follow, Mr.
Coop? I just want to point out that the land acquisition, that's just a title. The description in there in the capital program, it states it's funding for farmland preservation and open space initiatives.
And it's still... That's
still too loose?
Still pretty broad. I mean...
it could certainly be changed.
Open space issues. I don't know what the district councilman would think of that idea.
Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To get back to Councilman Holland's question, you know, the 1,000-acre marsh, of course, is around the Port Penn and the Delaware River area, the C&D Canal area. But this particular program and what we're looking at is that if you took the entire Port Penn corridor as one area, that it far supersedes like the 1,000-acre marsh area. That's adjacent to some of the farmland some of the farmland areas, but there's other areas that border along Route 13 down to the Augustine Creek that also dump into different tributaries and things of that nature. But that particular marsh area, the state has a definite interest in trying to preserve the wetlands and areas there. As to Councilman Cartier's question, I think that land acquisition has always kind of been probably not defined just for a particular purchase of land. And I'm not certain as to if we were to purchase property for a library, does that come out of land acquisition? Can anyone answer that?
It couldn't come out of this because this is strictly under parks.
Okay. So that, and I think that this is all good that we're having this conversation because I'm as equally in favor of that Route 9 corridor library. And when I hear from the bridge approach to the city of Wilmington, I think there's some excellent areas along Route 9 that are adjacent to development and everything that we should be looking at. But I think that it's important at some point for us to say that, you know, if we're going to partner with the state and private foundations and everything on farmland preservation, I would agree that at some point we need to identify what type of funding we would be willing to commit. And I think that we also need the commitment back from the state. So if we're committing three and we end up getting what we feel through our communications with them is out there, it'll far supersede our portion. But you don't spend it until you make sure that we've got sufficient commitment and funding that has been approved by the state and other agencies. So
back to Councilman Carty, and I'd like to get to Councilman Coop.
And I think
I'd like to get back to a county budget and not a district budget.
Councilman Carty, the idea of leveraging state monies and showing intent to preserve sensitive wetlands and the adjacent farmland that feeds the watershed is a great idea. And I have some familiarity with this area. I boat on the Delaware River, go down the C&D Canal, so I know the area pretty well from the water anyway. And I know Port Penn, I know those areas. So wouldn't it help your case in terms of the environmental preservation aspect if you notated this, saying that, you know, could be used to leverage with state funds to, if you're going to make the case to the state that we're serious about this, how else but, you know, putting that kind of designation in a capital budget?
Mr. Chairman? Then, as you say, we can kind of move into other areas, but I think that's an excellent point. And I think the bottom line of this is that while we highlighted one area, our interest from not just a district level, but from working with these folks and our senators and reps and everything, and the state and the county farm bureau, is that this is not just limited to that area. We need to kind of broaden the horizon a little bit. And I mean, there's some farms down around Newark. There's some farms out around Hokesson. There's farms in the northern portion of the county, even up in the Brandywine 100 area. There's still some areas being farmed. So I think, but I would agree that I think that somehow we've got a kind of earmark it that they see what our commitment is. That it's committed to that if they're willing to make a commitment to work with us. And then it pends the approval, you know, of this council as a whole. So.
Correct.
We'll
come back later.
Yep.
I think.
Councilman Powers.
I think just having it there will help. I agree with, I said it to David, really we don't want to earmark it for one project because there may be something in his district or Lisa's district. But we may not use all the match. Who knows? You know.
Mr. Coop. Oh, I just wanted to address, I did hear the $500,000 that's available. I just want to point out that those funds have been released probably in the last month or so to be used as match for, I believe there may be about three farms that there's a negotiation. I think it's a match with the state money. So even though it shows it's available
for what farms?
These funds were budgeted in fiscal year 13.
Yeah, and they're, according to this budget, they're still sitting there.
Because they were just released. They have not been, the check has not been sent out because the agreements, I guess, on the farms have not been settled yet.
So, well, for me, I'd like to know what farms. If we're going to spend $500,000, and you're saying that's the reason to take that off the books for the budget, I think this council has a right to know where it's coming.
It's public record, because it was brought up at the foundation.
That's why I'm asking.
The Dempsey farm up at Corner Catch. There's three farms.
Yeah,
the Dempsey was the one up in Janet's district.
In between
the
work.
I can get a copy.
Councilman Powers, I'd like to have it from the administration.
I can certainly get the information, Councilman.
Okay, I appreciate that. But no contracts have been signed yet. No agreement.
They're, I think, I was at the last state foundation.
I don't know if they're still being negotiated, or?
Yeah, they were, I think they're close to being done. From this, see, the, being a third party in there, it's the state, it's the negotiation.
They dug the negotiations, and it's the final map. Okay.
Is it the state program or the county?
I can tell you, there's one right there at Fleming's Landing. It's in my district, in the bottom of the county. That's two of them. And then there's another piece that might be in Councilman Bell's district.
Okay. Have anything else you want to do?
Not only farmland preservation projects.
No, is there anything else in the budget?
I just think we just continue to answer any questions.
Dr. Packett, did you have a... Oh, okay. Any questions? Any other member of the council? Anything else on this? Councilman Collier?
No, I think continuing, you know, put investment in our county sewer system is very important, and I'm glad to see that there are major projects in the works in this capital budget. And, you know, I just want to put out on the table that we have 1,800 miles of sewer in Newcastle County we're responsible for. And while we may be seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, the Brandywine 100 rehab, we got other areas of the county that need sewer investment. And I just encourage the administration to pursue those, because, you know, we don't want to go to a situation like we had in Brandywine 100, where we're put in the penalty box by the EPA and Denerec. And, you know, just to put that on the table. We saw a map where we looked at sewer infrastructure, and there were areas, major areas of red on that map, and I just want to know at some point where we're going to really start looking at areas for major investment, other areas of the county. I see there's something here on the Christina River Forest Main. That's a major issue, and I'm glad to see we're, like, looking at that.
Would you like to have someone from Public Special Services talk about this?
It's a general observation.
Okay.
Okay.
Just again, remind council members that Councilman Powers has something to say.
It's in your district, but I'm trying to figure out what a vehicle lift system is.
A vehicle lift.
That's over at the shop.
Because it's in your district is why it's under there.
Do you want me to cut it? I'll cut it. I ain't got... They can get a jack and cinder blocks like I do.
I just wanted to say, I see the sewer thing in all four of our districts is the same.
Well, they say it flows downhill. I guess that's why the sewer...
Well, through all four from parts. Bell's and mine, it's got to be pumped.
Because it's providing service for the vehicles to get there.
Well, the lift, yeah. I just was surprised it was under.
Well, I don't know. Considering the spending I'm seeing, if it breaks down, we'll just buy a new one. We don't need a lift to work on it. We'll slow the progress. Anything further? Councilman Carter.
Yeah, going back to that point I just made, maybe someone from Special Service can talk about what we're going to be doing with this proposed capital budget for the Christina River Forest Main, and maybe just comment to members of council why that is a critical asset and sewer asset for us.
Regis here from Special Services. The Christina River Forest Main is approximately 10 miles. Runs from Stanton into directly into the city of Wilmington. Has five of our bigger pump stations next to it. Is by far the biggest and most important pipeline in the county. There is no redundancy to the line. Ranges in size from 30 to 84 inches in size. So it carries most of our flow, no redundancy, and services everything basically west and south of Wilmington, going to Wilmington treatment plant. The pipeline was built mostly in the 70s and early 80s. The pipe type is of concern, the pipe age is of concern, and the fact that we can't really inspect that line because it cannot be taken out of service is of concern. We've hired a consulting firm to begin some risk mitigation planning and some emergency response planning. We'll work with the state on some of the issues that they're doing as far as building a bridge in Newport and things like that. So this is really just kind of a starting point for us on that, on the CRFM.
We've done the assessments that are possible. We've completed results of acoustical testing. We didn't find any major problems. So we're really just kind of an important line, and we're starting, this is kind of kicking off.
We didn't use the company that was involved with Governor Prince to do this assessment.
No, okay.
I'm not sure there's any blue rock down there, but if there is, they'll find it. So, anything further from any members of council? Just want to remind everyone of the 15-day cycle. I'm sure that those council members that contacted me earlier and we had discussion will be in touch again this evening or whatever. I do anticipate at least one amendment going over for this budget, whether any other council members are planning anything or not. I don't know. Councilman Taggart.
I'll just go on the record as stating I do not agree with Mike Harris that Carousel is in worse shape than in Glasgow.
I agree. I mean, when I watch a Western, the buildings are supposed to look rustic looking. So I don't know why we're worried about the way they look now. Somebody stole the bar out of one.
If I might just say, since there was still a lot of time left, I didn't want to bore you with our conversation. But
so why are you starting now?
There's still another hour to go.
You realize? Hey. Careful what you asked for. You opened with it.
I wanted to say that, you know, over the years, you see the capital projects going. We go from being proactive, reactive, proactive, back and forth, and we're getting back into the reactive mode because of all the austerity cuts and, you know, the cutbacks. Things are starting to really go downhill, and it's time, as you're saying about the sewer, and the building and the structures, they're all getting old, and we've got to spend money, just like we would at our houses, whether it's our roofs or our driveways. I know, having working over at the government center too, there's another building that's, it's got to be probably around 25 years old, I imagine. So the carpet's that old, and the ceiling tile's that old. And I know, having been here back in the early 90s, we were redoing this building at that time. We were doing the carpet over the ceiling tiles, and then that was for here.
Problem for me, fiscal responsibility and need.
Mm-hmm.
I need to try to balance, but I'm only one vote.
I think they're both.
I'm down. Only one vote. And you just heard me. I just offered that lift, so there ain't nothing in my district that anybody's going to offer to buy from me. So, anything from the public? Anything from the private? Is there a motion?
Motion adjourned.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? One opposed?
I'm telling him bye.
I'm telling him bye.